2 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 12. Let's start by opening with a word of prayer. Father, it is so good to be in your house tonight. I thank you for the privilege we have of opening your word. I pray that as we look at your word tonight, that you would challenge our hearts and that we would go forth and apply what we've learned. Pray that you'd be with me as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. I've titled tonight's sermon, Unashamed of Christ. Let me ask you this. What are you ashamed of? All of us probably have past events or past mistakes in our lives that we're ashamed of. If you're a human being, which all of us are, you have something in your life that you're not proud of. I can think of numerous things in my past. I remember one lie that I told as a kid, and I was so afraid to tell the truth for fear of the consequences, and so I just kept my mouth shut and watched my brother face the consequences. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago that I actually fessed up that I was the one that did the very thing that my brother got disciplined for. If you want to ask Jeremiah about that, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. But I'm not very proud of that, you know? I told a lie. I mean, we all have things in our lives that we're not proud of, that frankly we're ashamed of. Maybe you're ashamed of who you are, or maybe you're ashamed of what you've become. Maybe you're ashamed of where you come from. Some teens, maybe you just, my parents, I don't like to, they always embarrass me. Maybe your parents are ashamed of you. Maybe you're ashamed of how tall you are, or maybe how short you are. Maybe you're ashamed of the fact that you're goofy or reserved or outgoing. Did you know that nothing in this life happens by chance or luck? If God is sovereign and the creator and the sustainer of all things, there's no such thing as luck or chance. If he's the ruler of the world, everything happens for a reason. Listen to Psalms 139. I was meditating on this week. It says this. This is David's heart. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. While I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Did you catch all that? Nothing about you has happened by chance. God made you exactly the way you are tonight. You're not an accident. Your personality, your character traits, who you are was made by God before you were even born. God made you with a goofy smile. God made you with a bunch of moles. God made you 6'5" and very outgoing. I'm talking about myself. Nothing has happened that God did not allow to happen. Also, did you notice at the end there, it says, being yet unformed in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. All your days were fashioned before you were even born. God knew every single one of your days and how many you would have on this earth. That's crazy to think about. Every day was planned by God. That means that every trial, every hardship, and every struggle that we face is either an act of God or it's God allowing it to happen to us. That can sometimes be scary. Everything that we face in this life is God, either actively causing that to happen or allowing it to happen. For our good, the Bible says, and his glory. And sometimes we think of that verse, we think of for our good, we think of just easy life, right? But sometimes our good is actually a trial, is actually a hardship, is actually a mishap, is actually some things that we didn't plan or foresee. We all have things in our lives we're not proud of. But we can, by the grace of God, we can move forward from these things. Because if you're a child of God, we know that God's the one that's at work in us for our good and his glory. We can move forward because the Bible tells us that it's by his grace that we're saved. It's by his grace that we're forgiven. We can't earn favor with God. And so we shouldn't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. If there's one thing we shouldn't be ashamed of in this life, it's Jesus Christ. The question is, are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? When people ask about your faith or your church, how do you react? You say you go to Open Door Baptist Church. What's that all about? What's your reaction? God does not want us to be ashamed to be called a follower of Christ. What can we do to avoid being ashamed of Christ? And we're going to look at two things that Paul tells us we can do. First of all, Paul tells us in summary, 18, he's been writing to Timothy. He thinks of Timothy, as we were reminded last week, as a beloved son in the faith. He cares very deeply for Timothy. He wants to see Timothy live for God. He wants to see Timothy be successful as a pastor. Timothy was Paul's successor. He took over the church that Paul had started in Ephesus, and now he's pastoring this church. And Paul knew that ministry was tough. And he knew that Timothy at times would want to throw in the towel and give up. And so remember last week in verse 6, he says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of power, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." He's telling to me to provoke the gift that is in him. And then he says there this in our verse tonight, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in his suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." First way we can avoid being ashamed of Christ is to share in the suffering. Do not be afraid to represent Christ. That's what Paul told Timothy. Don't be afraid to represent Christ. Don't be afraid of the testimony of our Lord. That word testimony means a witness, one who testifies. He's saying, Timothy, don't be afraid to testify of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to be his ambassador. Don't be afraid to tell the world that you're a Christian. Don't be afraid in your ministry of the cost that it might cost you to serve Christ. Don't be afraid to represent him. So he's encouraging Timothy to share in his sufferings. He says that, "Nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." Paul gives Timothy the method, the means, and the reason by which he can count the cost and follow wholeheartedly after Christ. First of all, the method. "But share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." The method is God's power. How can we represent Christ in a godly way and not be ashamed of it? Through God's power, through his dunamis. That's the Greek word. God's power is the method by which we can represent Christ. That same power that created the world, that spoke the world into existence, that sustains the world, is the same power that God gives to you to represent him. Through God's power, we can be truly unashamed of the gospel and testify of Christ. In our own strength, in our own flesh, we fail. We give in to sin. We give in to flesh, into the flesh. In our own strength, we react in the flesh. And we live for the old man. The old man is that very nature that Christ freed us from through his work on the cross. Without God's dunamis, without God's power in our lives, every day, it is impossible to represent Christ in a godly way. If you try to do it in your own strength, you'll fall flat on your face every time. So Paul's encouraging Timothy, don't try to do this. Don't try to do the work of ministry in your own power. Because you'll fail. Don't try to represent Christ. Don't try to share in the suffering without Christ's help, without his power, without God's power. And that's why he's challenging Timothy to cling to the power of Christ in representing him. And he goes to the means. But share with me in his suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The means by which we can represent Christ and be unashamed is God's grace. Not only do we have God's power, that's the method, but the means is God's grace. It's the means by which we're saved, and it's the means by which we can live for God and be unashamed of Christ. Paul tells Timothy that he did nothing and he will do nothing to deserve God's grace. God has saved us, as he told Timothy, with a holy calling, not according to our works. We did nothing to deserve our salvation, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. The scriptures are so clear that we will never do anything to deserve God's grace, nor can we do anything in the future to deserve God's grace. We haven't done anything in the past, and we won't do anything in the future. We did not choose God, according to what Paul is telling Timothy. God chose us by his grace and for his purpose before time began. God's grace is the means by which we're saved, and it's the means by which we can go forth and live for him. Just as we cannot come to Christ on our own strength, we cannot live for Christ on our own strength. Timothy couldn't be the pastor and the Christian that Christ wanted him to be on his own without the grace of God. God's grace is not only something that we don't deserve, it's also that undeserved enablement. You cannot get saved and you cannot be a Christian that God wants you to be without the grace of God. God's grace, that undeserved enablement, is the means by which we can represent God and be unashamed of Christ. I love this quote. I found it this week. Every ability, every advantage we have comes from God and has been given to us as a stewardship to be used in serving God. Do you realize that every good thing that you can do with your life is God? In of ourselves, the Bible describes us as dead in our sins, headed to an eternity in hell. So anything that we ever do that's of value is God's work. And so we have no right to take pride in the good that we see in our lives, because it's really God. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, by God's grace, I am what I am. His grace to me was not without effect. I am what I am because of Christ. Not because of what I've done, but what Christ has done in me. That's what gave Paul the confidence to represent Christ, to do whatever it took to represent him, even if it meant his own life. Paul is currently in prison for the second time, we believe, for preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, for standing up for Jesus Christ. He knew what it took, and yet we see him with no reservation, all out service to God. Third, we see the reason. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The reason why Paul could move forward in confidence and represent Christ was because death is defeated. Paul told Timothy, we can represent Christ and not be ashamed because death is defeated. Jesus Christ has abolished death. That's a big word. Abolished means to destroy, to render idle. The reason we can wholeheartedly live for Christ and be unashamed is because Christ has destroyed death. 1 Corinthians, Paul says this in 15:55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he came to die. And his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead has conquered sin and death. Christ's abolishment of death is the reason why we can be unashamed of Christ. Christ has abolished death. And he also, not only did he abolish death, but notice Paul says, he has brought us life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus Christ not only destroyed death, he brought us life, eternal life, immortality. This gave Paul reason to endure the hardest circumstances because Paul saw them only as temporal. He recognized that his life would truly begin when he went home to be with the Lord in glory. He wanted Timothy, his beloved son in the faith, to have the same mindset, and recognize that this life is short and it should be lived with all his effort for Christ and for his glory. Because one day, Paul told Timothy, the corruptible, the mortal, will be made incorruptible, will be made immortal. This was the truth that Paul taught the Corinthians in that same chapter I referenced in 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54. He echoes this same truth to Timothy to inspire him to keep on boldly testifying in the name of Christ and to not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Paul knew firsthand how unpopular it was to stand on the truths of God's word. He challenges his fellow pastor, and he challenges you, Christian, to count the cost and to be sold out for Christ. The question tonight is, will you count the cost? This past week, I had a dear friend from Colorado call me, and he was so distraught over his past sins and mistakes, and he was so depressed and doubting his salvation and ultimately doubting the Word of God and the truth that he found in the Word of God. And I challenged this friend. I said, hey, let the Word of God be your comfort. We cannot trust in our human logic. There will be many times where our human logic will say, if there is a God, then this shouldn't happen, or this shouldn't be so. Human logic says, there's no way that I can be saved from my past. Yet, the Word of God tells us that we are not saved of our works, and that our sins from the past, present, and the future are forgiven. Human logic says a lot of things, but we have to go with what the Word says, and not with what your heart says. Our heart, as Jeremiah told us, is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So what about you tonight? Are you ashamed of your past sins or mistakes? Are you allowing them to affect your view of God? And as a result of being so caught up in your past, are you allowing that to affect your future? Are you ashamed to count the cost and to follow Christ? Are you ashamed of Christ? We have got to change our perspective, and we've got to get back on the Word of God and not self. Representing Christ with all your life comes at a great cost in this life, but it's immensely rewarding in the next. Therefore, we should not be ashamed to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The second reason why Paul challenged Timothy not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ and to be his representative here on this earth, he says this, to which I was also appointed. Let's back up to verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in his suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. And we jump back down, and Paul continues on, to which I was appointed, verse 11, a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him, until that day. Paul told Timothy this, serve Christ and do not be afraid to associate with Christ. Paul not only told Timothy to not be afraid of the testimony of Christ, he also told Timothy not to be afraid to associate with Paul, his prisoner. He says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony. And then he says, nor of me, his prisoner. In verse 15, which we're going to go to later in our study of 2 Timothy, it says that Timothy was forsaken by those in Asia. They turned away from him. That was possibly even the people in Ephesus, the people he used to pastor, had forsaken Paul. Because Paul was standing on the truth of God's word. Paul was standing on what he believed God had called him to do. And so Paul is challenging Timothy, now as the pastor of the church in Ephesus, to not be afraid to associate with the testimony of Jesus Christ, but also Paul, his prisoner. But to serve Christ and not to be afraid to associate with Christ. Notice Paul considered himself a prisoner, not of Rome, nor of Nero. He considered himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He wasn't using prisoner in a negative sense, but in a positive sense. Paul considered all-out service to Christ his only option as a believer. Living for self and selfish gain, Paul never considered an option. He didn't consider his life his own. He considered it as Christ. And that's what he wants Timothy. He wants Timothy to have this same perspective towards serving God and serving Christ. He knew that it would cost Timothy to associate with Paul and Christ. And many people would reject Timothy for associating with Paul. But nonetheless, this was Timothy. This was what Paul is challenging Timothy to do as a child of God. And the same things that motivated Paul to represent Christ, the means, the mode, or the means and the method, and the results are the same things that motivate him to serve Christ. It's God's power, it's God's grace, and the fact that death was defeated. It would be a lot easier for Timothy in his ministry to go with the crowd and to reject Paul. But Paul charged him not to do so, but to remain true. And Paul gives Timothy three reasons why he shouldn't be ashamed to associate with Paul in his ministry. We find the first one in verse 11. To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. First reason why Timothy shouldn't be afraid to associate with Paul in his ministry was because Paul was called by God. God is the one that called Paul. On the road to Damascus, it was God that met Paul, that changed his entire outlook on life. Remember, the apostle Paul was persecuting the church. He was seeking out those Christians that were in Damascus, that were of the way, and he was going to take them, and he was going to drag them back to Rome, back to Jerusalem to abuse them, right? And to mistreat them. And it was on that road to Damascus that God appeared to Paul and changed his life forever, changed his whole outlook on life. It wasn't that Paul realized that, oh, he was a sinner in need of salvation. God was the one that got a hold of him and changed his life completely, and God used him in an amazing way from that point forward. Before, Paul was persecuting the church and killing Christians, but now because of God's calling and choosing, he is being used by God to bring the gospel to the world. And so he's encouraging Timothy to accept him and to accept his teaching because it wasn't of Paul, it was of God. The fact that these believers in Asia were rejecting Paul's message did not change the authentication of his message or his calling. Paul was a herald of God and a preacher chosen by God. And we see he was also commissioned by God in verse 11. It says this, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul was not only called by God, he was also commissioned by God as an apostle to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul was commissioned by God to take the gospel to the Gentiles. It was this preaching to the Gentiles that got Paul thrown in prison in the first place. And the Gentiles should have been grateful for Paul's sacrifice, for his willingness to take the gospel to them. They should have been rallying around Paul, but instead they're forsaking Paul because his message offended them. They didn't like what he had to say. They didn't like the fact that they were being told that they were sinners in need of a Savior. And instead of thanking Paul and rallying around Paul, these false believers were rejecting him and turning away from him and his teaching. And so Paul's reminding Timothy that it was God that had commissioned him to the ministry of teaching the Gentiles. And it was God who was using his teaching to impact others for Christ. The third reason why Timothy shouldn't be afraid to associate with Paul: not only was he called by God and commissioned by God, but he was also confident in Christ. Verse 12, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Paul was not ashamed because he knew that it was God. He knew that God was faithful and that God would keep him. Paul was persuaded that Christ is able to keep that which Paul had committed to him until the day that Christ returned and took him home. That word persuaded that Paul uses here, I am persuaded, means to be convinced, to believe. Paul believed that the God who had called him, the God that had commissioned him, was the same God that was going to enable him to do what he had called him to do. He was persuaded. And then that word, to keep. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep. That word keep means to guard or to watch. Paul believed that Christ would guard his life and ministry for as long as God wished. Paul didn't worry about his life or his popularity of his ministry. He knew that it was God who called him, and it was God that commissioned him to the ministry, and therefore he had confidence that he was about the Lord's work and not his own. And instead of looking at his external situations and the fact that he's in prison, Paul was going back to his godly calling. God hadn't called Paul to be a popular or not to ruffle feathers. God had called Paul to serve him. You know, serving Christ is tough. And there's times where it's downright hard and maybe unpopular. But we have to go back to our calling, and we have to remind ourselves that it's God's work and not ours. He's the one that does the work and not us. We're just the vessels that he chooses to use. That's what Paul is saying. Anything that I've done that's good in my life is God. And God's chosen to use me. Sometimes we see God using us in great ways and we see great results. We see us impacting others in our service to God. And other times we're in prison like Paul is, facing persecution for our faith. And it might even cost us our lives. No matter where you are in life, Paul reminds you, and he reminded Timothy, not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ and serving him. Just this week, I got an inbox on Facebook, I think it was from Jim and a bunch of other people, Jim Ratliff, about this college in Oklahoma. It's a secular college. And they were asked by the state to remove the cross off the top of their, they call it their prayer chapel. They have a cross on the top of their prayer chapel, and they have a cross at the center of their auditorium in this chapel. It's a pretty little old chapel that has pews and Bibles in the pews. And they were asked by the state to remove the cross and to remove the Bibles because they were offensive. Right now, this college has to make a choice. It can either be facing a multi-million dollar lawsuit for not removing the cross, or they can take the cross down. From what I understand, they're just going to take the cross down because they don't care too much. This was donated by somebody 60 years ago, when probably this school had pretty decent roots, to be used for the students to come and pray. But now they're being asked to take the cross down and the Bible down because it's offensive to people. So far, they've caved to the pressure. What about you? What if it comes to that situation for us as Christians? We want all Bibles to be burned. You can't have a cross on anything. Will you be willing to be unashamed of Christ? I don't care if the Word of God or the cross is offensive. That's the point. The Bible is offensive. Because without it, you're lost in sin. The Bible tells you you're a sinner on your way to hell. That's offensive. But people need to hear the gospel. Are you willing to stand by the truth no matter what it may cost you? And it may cost you something in this life. It was probably costing Timothy as a pastor in Ephesus. There's probably people in his church because he was associating with Paul that it would cause conflict. And it wasn't going to make his life easier. It would have been a lot more easy for Timothy to just say, you know what? I'm sorry, Paul. I appreciate everything you've done in my life. I appreciate how you've invested in me. I know that you used to be the pastor of this church, and I'm just gonna disconnect myself from you for right now because it's just causing too much problems. Would have been a lot easier. But that's not what Timothy did, and that's what Paul challenged him to do. We should be willing to serve God and to associate with God and His Word and His people, no matter the cost. Would you be willing to associate with anyone who's willing to stand up for Christ? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Count the cost. Counting the cost, spiritually speaking, you cannot afford to be ashamed of serving Christ. If you want to be effective in your service to Christ, there can be no reservation in your life. You have to give all you have to Him and say, "Here I am, Lord, take me and use me however you want. And if that means dying for the cause of Christ, so be it." That's where Paul was at. I'm just your vessel, Lord. Use me however you want. And that's what he's challenging Timothy to do, to be that bold in his faith, to be that persuaded. That takes immense faith. It takes immense faith to say, "Lord, even if it means losing my life or facing immense persecution, I'll do it. No matter the cost, I'm not going to be ashamed of Jesus Christ." It's a lot easier to go with the flow. It's a lot harder to stand up for what's right. Will you stand up for what's right? Will you be unashamed of the gospel? That's the challenge tonight. I trust that you'll take it to heart. Let's pray.